Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're diving into a book that really got under my skin, Mark O'Connell's To Be a Machine. Sophie, have you ever met someone who genuinely thinks we can upload our brains to a computer and live forever?
Hi there, Sam. I'm so glad you picked this one. I haven't met anyone like that in person, but this book is full of them. It's a journey into the world of transhumanists, people who believe that being human is just a starting point, and that technology is the key to escaping death and all our biological limits.
Right, and the author, O'Connell, he's not a believer himself. He's a skeptical journalist with a novelist's eye, and he goes to their conferences, visits their labs, and interviews the true believers. The whole thing feels like an anthropological study of a very strange tribe.
And the tribe is fascinating. There's a guy who had a magnet implanted in his finger, so he can sense electromagnetic fields. There are people freezing their bodies after death, hoping to be revived someday. And a woman who's having her eggs harvested, so her genetic material might be available centuries from now. It's both poignant and a little terrifying.
Yeah, the part that got me was the cryonics facility in Arizona. They've got dozens of bodies and heads in giant tanks of liquid nitrogen. It's so clinical and clean, but the hope behind it is so desperate. These are rational people making a calculated bet that the technology to revive them might exist someday. They think the chance, however small, is better than the certainty of oblivion.
And that's the core tension of the book. O'Connell is sympathetic to their fear of death, which is the most human fear there is. But he also wonders if they're missing the point. He quotes a cryonics advocate who calls death an imposition, an insult. But O'Connell asks, isn't death also a gift? Doesn't it give meaning to our lives?
That's the question that kept me up at night. If we lived forever, would anything matter? Would we take the same risks, love the same way, if we knew we had all the time in the world? I'm not sure I would.
And the transhumanists have an answer for that. They say life would be even richer if we had more of it. You'd have time to learn everything, experience everything, become everything you could possibly be. But O'Connell isn't convinced, and neither am I, honestly.
Then there's the whole AI angle. He visits a lab where they're trying to give a robot named Ada something like emotions. She's just a face on a screen, but she responds to stimuli with pleasure, surprise, even distress. It's impressive and deeply unsettling at the same time.
Because if a machine can simulate emotions, what does that say about our own? Are they any more real? The researchers are trying to create a machine that can love, but O'Connell wonders if a machine that can love is a machine that can be loved. And what would that even mean for us?
And he meets Ray Kurzweil, the famous futurist who predicts the singularity will happen by 2045. Kurzweil takes hundreds of supplements a day, follows a strict diet, and exercises religiously. He's trying to live long enough to live forever. Sam, it's both impressive and a little sad.
Kurzweil speaks with the certainty of a prophet, but O'Connell senses a deep terror underneath. And that's the thing about this book. It's not a tech manual or a cheerleading session. It's a meditation on mortality, on what we risk losing when we try to transcend our humanity.
The title, To Be a Machine, captures that paradox perfectly. Machines are durable, upgradable, immortal, but they don't have experiences. They don't feel joy or sorrow, love or loss. They don't have the messy, beautiful inner lives that make us human.
So the transhumanist dream of becoming a machine is, in a profound sense, a dream of escaping the very thing that makes life worth living. And O'Connell never lets us forget that tension.
There's also the question of inequality. If we can enhance our bodies and minds, who gets access? Will it be only the wealthy? And what about identity? If I upload my consciousness into a computer, am I still me? Or just a copy?
O'Connell quotes a philosopher who says uploading is just a fancy way of committing suicide. The copy might think it's you, but the original is still dead. The transhumanists dismiss that as a semantic puzzle, but O'Connell senses it's something deeper, touching on the very essence of selfhood.
And that's what makes this book so powerful. It doesn't give easy answers. It just presents you with this movement that's at once inspiring and terrifying, noble and pathetic. And it leaves you with a question: in our quest to become machines, what do we risk losing of ourselves?
I think the takeaway for me is that death is not just a problem to be solved. It's a limit that gives our lives shape and meaning. And maybe the transhumanists, for all their brilliance, are missing that.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm taking away too. It's made me grateful for the messy, fragile, finite gift of being alive.
And if you want to explore more books like this, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It's just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. So here's to being human, with all its limits and all its beauty. We'll see you in the next one.